Brian McGrath is the Chief Information Officer at the United States Census Bureau. Brian, thank you very much for joining both Jason and I today. You are not that far away, actually, from the 2020 census. 5 years is not a long time to get ready to do the big count. What is your tech plan right now to support the 2020 census, and where does it stand? Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on the show and share with you the exciting work that's currently in progress here at the Census Bureau, as you said, as we prepare for what will be the most technologically advanced, sophisticated, accurate, and cost-effective census in the history of the country. What I'd like to do is share a little bit with you about some guiding principles that we've put in place for how we will tackle this daunting but very exciting opportunity as we seek to count everybody in the country. So obviously, there's lots of guidance around cloud. And one of our guiding principles is cloud first. We have every anticipation that we will leverage the cloud beyond our private cloud that we currently have in our data center to solve the daunting online self-response challenges, as well as many of the other systems that we will need to both put in place and scale as needed for the decennial count. Second guiding principle really focuses around mobile first, in that we know as we march down this path that traditionally folks will take a different approach and a different strategy for how they will respond to the 2020 census. And we're already seeing that with the tremendous amount of online survey work that we do today, both from the American Community Survey, but also for the several hundred million dollars worth of reimbursable work that the Census Bureau does for other government agencies. You know, we see that folks are using their mobile devices, their smartphones, their tablet devices to respond to the censuses that we currently host online. And we think that strategy will only improve. So not only cloud first, but also mobile first is really tantamount to our strategy. Next is really looking at providing the systems and capabilities through a shared services framework. And the Census Bureau has really adopted a shared first strategy where we don't look to develop isolated and stovepipe systems. We look at what capabilities can we provide in a shared services strategy, both within the Census Bureau, but also across with our other partners at Commerce and across the federal space. I'm excited to say that we have completed our migration to cloud email. We moved almost 18,000 email boxes and over 5 terabytes worth of data to the Office 365 cloud environment, and that work was completed as of last week. So we're pleased and we're excited to be able to leverage that technology. Fourth, is around a strategy of services and APIs. So rather than building stovepipe solutions, we're looking at a systems of systems approach. And I will be happy to talk to you a little bit about some of the enterprise activities we have underway, where we're leveraging services and APIs to connect systems and share information so that we can provide real-time data analysis and costing information to the senior leadership across the Census Bureau and Commerce as we embark on this daunting task to count everyone. The other is really looking at big data. So we obviously are looking at and evaluating administrative records and large data sets for how we can augment both the count and how we can identify the best means for reaching out and counting people. So we see big data as being a very significant player in our strategy going forward. And finally, I would just offer that we've taken an innovate, don't invent strategy. So there's a lot of really wonderful commercial technology and capability that exists. And we're filtering everything through a buy versus build lens. So to the greatest extent possible, capabilities, whether they be an existing system in its totality or subsets or services within a system, if we can purchase them and provide them via the cloud, that is our ultimate and most desired strategy.
Brian, you've kind of crystallized a lot of the priorities of the administration overall in your priorities, in your guiding principles here. I want to ask you about the shared services one in particular. The common discussion about why agencies don't pursue shared services is, well, what we do is a little different than what everybody else does. I think one could argue that what the Census Bureau does is completely unique compared to everybody else across government, and yet it sounds like you're pushing more towards shared services than what a lot of agencies are. How are you finding that path to be so far, where maybe you do something a little bit different than one of the other 11 bureaus inside the agency, but you're able to find commonality in the infrastructure or the services that underpin it?
Sure. So the first lens that we look at is really differentiating what would be a common or commodity type of service from a mission specific activity. And you're exactly right. As the largest statistical agency in the world, there are some unique challenges and some unique business requirements that we in fact have. But for things and capabilities like email, for collaboration, for content management, for store and compute resources, you know, to the greatest extent possible, you know, we really think that leveraging shared services really empowers us to not only drive down costs, but I would argue really drives agility into our environment and the services that we provide. As a CIO, I'm a service provider, and I provide an array of IT services to my internal customers as well as my external customers and stakeholders. And anything that I can do to deliver those services in a more economical and cost-efficient way, but also within the context of being more agile so that I can respond to my customers' needs in a very efficient and effective way, then that's really the ultimate solution for us. Now, let's not forget security, because securing the data and the systems that we have is paramount to what we do. And we're very focused as an organization on security, and that's really the third leg in the stool of the services that we try to provide. I'd like to take a minute and just share with you one of our enterprise initiatives here at the Census Bureau that I think really goes to the heart of our shared services strategy, and that is our Center for Enterprise Data Collection and Processing. So what we have historically done is, as an organization, we've built systems and we've looked at the decennial requirements perhaps differently than we would have for the demographic surveys and the economic surveys that we currently perform. And through the SEDCAP initiative, we've really taken an enterprise shared services approach. So we've got all the great subject matter experts in the room, and we're looking at if we're counting people or we're counting businesses, is there really significant difference in those initiatives that require us to have different systems, different capabilities and different infrastructure? And what we're finding is there's a tremendous amount of consistency and redundancy and overlap in those systems. So, for example, we do a tremendous amount of data collection online. How can we use those current capabilities and systems to not only meet other surveys, but as a basis for moving forward for the internet self-response capability for the decennial census? At this point, it appears to hold tremendous benefit and opportunity for us to become secure, more secure, agile, and more cost-effective in the work that we do.
Another area that you laid out that I hear a lot about, but I haven't seen as much implementation yet, is the buy versus build mentality. How much of that is cost-effectiveness? We want to buy off the shelf and modify whatever we can rather than creating it new for money reasons. How much of it is trying to avoid past mistakes that have happened in previous census preparations? And how much of it is other reasons that we haven't discussed yet?
Well, I would argue it's all of the above.
Okay.
So, you know, clearly we're all taxpayers, and we need to be judicious and conscientious with the taxpayers' funds. And that is paramount. So, you know, we're conducting a return on investment analysis for each one of the capabilities and subsystems. And we're looking at, first and foremost, do we have a system that we've already built that we believe can meet those requirements? If we don't, then let's engage with industry to see what might be available and that we could implement either, again, as an entire system or perhaps a subset of a system. And we're really challenging ourselves from a business process reengineering perspective. So improving the technology or updating the technology just for the sake of improving the technology doesn't return or harvest the benefits. It's really a matter of leveraging new and emerging technologies and taking a challenging approach to our requirements in our business processes. So, for example, and I'm sure we'll talk about BYOD, you know, we've moved our enterprise from a legacy mobile device to a smartphone. And we've learned a tremendous amount across the organization on both the cost, security, and impact of that strategy. All those lessons learned that we're harvesting at the enterprise level, we're going to use to help inform our decisions as we move forward for the decennial census.
Brian, one thing that you mentioned when you talk about the build versus buy discussion, and then you talk about the ROI, a lot of agencies want to go down that path, yet they fall into that trap of, but we're a little different, we're a little more unique or customized, or we need this, we want to use, you know, most of it except for this one piece, and then that changes everything. There's a story I wrote recently about HHS and the troubles they had trying to move to a shared services for the lines of business for HR. How are you guys ensuring that you don't fall into that trap that so many others have fallen into about not letting your uniqueness overtake the need for to meet your business needs?
Well, we certainly reach out and engage with our counterparts across the federal space. And Steve Cooper, our new CIO for Commerce, is really creating an environment where we as CIOs at the bureau level come together and share information and challenges. And at the Commerce level, we're working through a shared services initiative and undertaking on how we can, as a Commerce department, move forward to secure both services and capabilities. But I think the real key is really challenging the requirements. You know, we live in a day and age where technology can do virtually anything and everything we can imagine, but at what cost? And for us, that's really the key. We've created a group here at the Census Bureau that reports directly to our Chief Operating Officer and Deputy Director, who's responsible for capturing, formulating, challenging, and documenting requirements. So when I talk about the program SEDCAP that we have underway, we have an independent group that's working with the business to really document requirements and understand those requirements and challenge them. And then most importantly, drawing that logical connection across the enterprise so that we look for commonality. The other challenges we need to think of within the context is 80% good enough? Do we always have to work for the 100% solution, or is 80% good enough? Also using an agile development methodology where we're delivering capability and we're getting it in front of the customer on a regular routine basis. And we run scrums in anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks where we're off building software, but we do it side by side with our business counterparts, and they see what we're building and provide us that immediate feedback. So I think those are a couple of strategies that we've tried to use here. And certainly when we talk with our counterparts around the government, that's what we see other people doing as well.
The ROI piece, talk a little bit about how you're looking at those investments and saying, how do you ensure that you're getting that ROI and the return investment? How do you calculate it?
Well, so there's the traditional empirical approach where we actually try to document what it costs to build systems, and we can do that with a great degree of accuracy, but what's the value? And what's the value within business terms? We really try to take the concept of IT and delivering IT or focusing on IT is really within the context of business. So unless we can make a compelling argument that the technology that we want to invest in delivers discernible, harvestable business value, frankly, we just don't invest. We have a pretty strong governance model here at the Census Bureau. For example, the investments that I make, I have a governing board that has representatives from across the Census Bureau, all of the business areas, where they are the ones who make the decision what I invest in and how I invest in it. So if they don't see that there's return on investment for the business, then frankly, they don't approve the initiative and it doesn't go forward. The other thing we do is we follow a very strict project management methodology. And that same governing board sees and receives an ongoing status report, either a written report or actually in most instances a presentation on the status and health of the initiative. So they see all of the challenges, opportunities, failures in some cases, and successes of every IT project that I invest in. And they have the ability to approve it, terminate it, or modify it.
Brian, you've listed a couple of things in this conversation that are dramatic changes from the way the government in general has done things. Shared services, buy versus build, the 80% solution. What kind of change management issues have you dealt with in terms of demonstrating to your team and the people that work with your team and other parts of the agency, we're on a different path now. This isn't going to be the same way that we've always done things.
Well, I think there's two key components of that. One, you have to have a seat at the table, and you have to partner side by side with the business. And we have that ongoing relationship here between the IT side of the organization and the business side of the organization. The other, and I think equally important, is transparency. And as I said before, we have a governing board that has, frankly, more representatives from the business side than from the IT side, and they're the decision makers. And they have the ability to make the decisions how we invest our IT dollars here at the Census Bureau. I think those are really two key initiatives. You have to have that partnership, and you have to be transparent, because it hasn't been that long ago where the business really didn't have visibility into how the IT dollars were spent. And we've tackled that head on here, and frankly have found that it's been a very both beneficial but rewarding experience for all parties. Because requirements change, we all know that. But IT, having a partnership with the business and being able to explain what the impact of those changes are, and then technically being able to share how we solve problems and why we solve problems a certain way, really allows you to build that trust and respect, and you build that partnership going forward.